In this week's Complaint Corner, VR, Avatar, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and first, we're going to talk about VR. So, Sony announced, or I guess it wasn't announced, it was like in a description for a job that they're looking for, so it's not like an official announcement, but Sony, there are reports that Sony is working on a next-gen VR headset with plans for as far as 5 years in the future. And it's not, or it appears it won't be made by the same people who made the PlayStation VR, which is made by like a separate studio within Sony. So it'll be like a new system, at least in theory. Who knows? You know, this is all rumors and stuff. So maybe the PlayStation VR guys will be involved. But I, for one, am excited for the future of VR. What do you think, Steve?
I mean, I don't have VR, and I probably can't use it, considering how my eyes work.
Oh, yeah.
But
I had forgotten about that.
I'm very excited for other rich people to be able to play with expensive toys, I guess.
Aw. Yeah, I forget that, like, you know, you probably won't even be able to enjoy it. That's too bad. I like VR. My wife has an HTC Vive, and that's super fun. And I did play it a second time, and I didn't fall on my face that time. It was great.
Wow, I can't believe you're willing to roll the dice on that one.
I know. I was, like, deliberately...
Did you, like, sit perfectly still the entire time?
No, but I was paying much more attention to the boundaries of the little world I was in. And I was also, like, there were multiple times where I was like, this isn't real. And then, like, I would, like, touch the floor to remind myself that the floor existed. It worked.
You were standing on the floor.
Well, I know I'm standing on it, but it's not the same. Okay. It's not the same. Okay, Steve?
I guess I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know what the carpeting's like in that ivory tower of yours.
Yeah, my one bedroom apartment. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's
with VR in it.
Honestly, the worst thing about VR in my that I've dealt with is that my cats
strapping
are
a TV
very
to your
confused.
Head.
Wait, what?
Strapping a TV to your head.
Well, yeah, that would suck. But no, my cats are confused by it, and then they get all up in my business, and I trip over them. But they didn't make me fall on my face, so that's good.
Well, the solution to that is to not have cats.
I love my cats, I say as I lock them out of the room.
Okay.
Earlier they were trying to like dig their way underneath my door because they were mm-hmm. so upset that they weren't mm-hmm. allowed in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
that's
fine.
A reasonable, well-adjusted reaction.
They're cats, okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're simple creatures. I love them. They're cute.
Okay.
But anyway, we're getting off track.
Yeah, I don't care about this VR thing, really. I mean,
you don't
I'm
care about
glad
VR?
The technology is advancing or whatever, because I'm, you know, as much as I am resistant to it, it is the next hot thing eventually. I mean,
yes.
It's like 6 people in the universe have VR functionally, but like, you know, it's eventually we're all going to get there playing fucking Tetris on the intergalactic space hive mind or whatever it is. So
yeah,
it's going to happen, but 5 years is basically forever away, so I'll forget about I'm going to forget about this when we're done talking about it. So I'm definitely not going to be able to maintain my hype for 5 years.
You forget it. I was going to say, like, you forget about things that we talked about, like, a week before. So, like, I won't be surprised when, you know, 5 years from now, it's like, oh, man, I remember talking about this 5 years ago. And you're like, who are you? Like,
yeah. But I'll tell you what I do remember, Adam. I do remember that ridiculous thing you were going to do with your Batman game and how you have to maintain hype for a year. I remember that.
Oh, you do? You do remember
that?
You
know what's
funny is I haven't even played it in like a week.
Okay, so I'm glad you were so gung-ho about
it. I got sick of it, man.
Cool.
I platinumed
cool.
the first one. I platinumed Arkham Asylum. I was pretty proud of that. That's something.
All right, well, this
right?
isn't about your illness. This is about VR. So,
yes,
it is. Hooray for virtual reality. I'm very indifferent, but optimistic, I guess.
Just for, you know, allow the possibility, if mm-hmm. VR could work for you, mm-hmm. would you want to try it or no? You're just like,
oh yeah, the porn possibilities are insane.
You know what? That is true though. Like, I definitely like feel like that is gonna be like a huge thing. I gotta try that.
Adam, well, the only two advancements in the human history have ever been for the purposes of sex or the purposes of war, and VR is already used for blowing things up across the world. So, porn was the next thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Games come at like a distant third. Mm. What, war or porn?
No, porn. I mean,
oh,
I
yes, absolutely
VR,
you could. So. Absolutely you could. You can go to Steam right now and just click the adult tab and find yourself a nice long list of things with Japanese character names that you could jack off to.
Oh, great.
That if that wonderful. Would excite you. I'm sure you could find one.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Thank you, Steve. Okay.
No problem. Happy to help. I'd give you some recommendations, but I can't.
No, yeah, don't do that. I'm good. All right, so we're going to move on to our next thing, which is, you know what, just full disclosure, this episode is not going to be a huge news episode because, you know, again, the world is in the middle of a pandemic, and so there's not really a whole lot happening in the entertainment world. So I'm doing the best I can here to find stuff to
talk about.
Adam,
the entertainment industry is notoriously recession-proof. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, actually, you're not entirely wrong, but, like, that's kind of true. But anyway... So the Nintendo Switch might be getting a Skyward Sword remaster. That's Legend of Zelda, Skyward Sword. There was like an Amazon listing for the remaster. And I, for one, am excited because I had Skyward Sword for the Wii way back when. I never finished it. I was stuck on the final boss because I was having such a difficult time killing him. And then I never finished it. And then I don't have it anymore. I lost the game. So I don't have any way to play it. I don't even have a Wii anymore or a Wii U. So
bro, I got a Wii. You want a Wii?
I'm super hopeful that they are in fact releasing Skyward Sword. I like Skyward Sword. I know a lot of people don't like Skyward Sword, but that game is fun as hell. And some of the boss fights are crazy good. Like, holy shit. And also some of them are really hard.
I played like 15 minutes of Skyward Sword.
That's it?
Aww. Yeah. It wasn't mine. It was another guy's game, and I went to his house, and he's like, hey, check out this Legend of Zelda. And I was like, neat. And then we did something else. I don't remember what it was after that, but it wasn't the Legend of Zelda.
No. Okay. Well, fair enough.
I know there's like a small subset of the Zelda fandom that likes it a lot, but I can't comment either way as I have never played. Or
I'm
haven't
not,
played
like,
enough.
I'm not super deep into the Zelda fandom. I'm kind of a late bloomer when it comes to Zelda, which I think I've talked about on the show before. The short version is I didn't play Zelda until I was an adult. Like, I just
never Yeah, you can't even call yourself a Zelda fan if you never played Zelda 2 Legend of Link.
Yeah, I didn't, and I don't want
Adventure
to.
Adventure of Link, whatever it's called.
That being said, I love Wind Waker. I love Breath of the Wild. I love... Well,
those are filthy casual scrub Zelda games.
I love Ocarina of Time. I have a scrub really game. Hard time. I have a really hard time playing Majora's Mask because I have no idea what I'm doing. And I thought
no
Twilight Princess
doing.
Was okay.
Hmm.
And that's all I've got for Twilight
Princess. But have you played Link's Crossbow Training?
No, I have not played Link's Crossbow Training.
How about Hyrule Warriors?
No. I played a demo for Hyrule Warriors.
How about the Zelda level of Mario Kart?
Yes, actually quite extensively. I've been playing Mario Kart a lot for the past like week or so. I brought it with me on my vacation. I think I talked about that last week.
You did, yes.
I brought it with me and since I came back from the vacation, I've just been playing it on my own because it was so much fun. And yesterday I was able to get 3 stars in a 200cc race, which was fucking exciting. That was good
Proud
shit.
Of you?
Yeah, and I unlocked a new character. I unlocked Gold Mario because I got gold in all of the cups, which I hadn't done quite yet.
Dope.
I know.
Doesn't matter, though, because the best character in Mario Kart is and forever will be Waluigi on the motorcycle.
You know what? Honestly, Waluigi is pretty good. I like playing as Waluigi. I've been playing the shit out of Mario Kart. Like, seriously, I love that game. Also, Binding of Isaac, which is also really fun.
Yeah, it's very contemporary, Binding of Isaac.
I don't care about things being contemporary. I play games that are fun.
That's fine. It's just like you've just now discovered Binding of Isaac when it, like, you know, it's like the flagship of the indie scene.
I know. I mean, what did that game come out, like, 10 or, like, 8 years ago or some shit? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. A billion.
I got into Binding of Isaac, like, 2 years ago and for the first time, and it was fun as hell, and then I stopped playing it for a long time, and now I rediscovered it. This is how I approach video games. I'll forget they exist, and then I'll remember, and then I'll play it and get really into it, and then I'll stop playing it, and I probably won't play it for another year or more.
Well, Adam, I've got this super cool game that I think you should try out. It's called Grand Theft Auto 3.
I never played 3. The first Grand Theft Auto I
Well, now's the perfect time for you to get into it.
Rockstar games are hard for me. There's just so many options that I find it really overwhelming.
Adam, it's okay. You don't have to play it. I'm just making fun of you.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Hey, dude.
Don't actually play Grand Theft Auto 3.
Why not?
San Andreas you can play, though.
Is it good? I don't know. I've heard San Andreas is really good.
Yeah, it's got a jetpack in it. That's dope.
There's a jetpack in it? That sounds
yes.
awesome.
How did you not know that?
Fuck, I don't know, man.
It's like the thing about that game.
Really? See, yes. I don't know anything about San Andreas. Like, or what is the guy's name? CJ? Is that his name?
Yes.
Right?
Carl Jensen. Okay,
oh, didn't know that. Yeah, I never played it. I never got into it. The first one I played was 4.
From Grove
I bought
Street.
It for myself.
Grove
Fun
Street.
Fun fact. Here's my Grand Theft Auto story. I bought Grand Theft Auto 4 for myself when I turned 17, played it for a little bit. When my dad found out that I had bought it for myself, he made me return it because he insisted that it was not appropriate for anybody to play ever, despite the fact that he never actually watched me play it or knew anything about it other than what his friends at work told him.
Yep.
And he didn't want my brother, who was like younger than me, so he was like
an impressionable youth. Sure, sure, sure.
He was like 9 years younger than I was. He didn't want my brother accidentally playing it, which is like bullshit. It's not an accident. He just really likes Grand Theft Auto, but
everybody
like,
does.
Whatever.
I mean, Saints Row is better, but
and then,
well, actually
when
I have a
doubt. And then when I moved out, one of the first games I bought was Grand Theft Auto. And
nice
out of pure spite.
Yeah, take that, Dad. You can't tell me what to buy. Actually, I have a similar story. The neighbor kid had Grand Theft Auto. I want to say it was San Andreas. It might have been Vice City. San Andreas. And I was like, hey, Mommy and Daddy, can I get Grand Theft Auto San Andreas too? And they're like, nope, that's full of violence. You can't have that. So instead, we'll buy you something else. So they bought me a game called Ride or Die. You ever heard of that?
No.
Well, it's like Mario Kart with actual real violence. It's just a racing game, except you just kill other people instead of, you know, shooting turtle shells at them. You just murder them with guns. And that was my alternative to Grand Theft Auto, because Grand Theft Auto was too violent.
Because that's better.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand this idea that Grand Theft Auto is, like, so violent. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, it is. But so is every video game. Like, it's not like Grand
it's
Theft
different.
Auto is that...
It's different, because it's imitatable real-life violence, Adam.
It's
very difficult to find an alien and cut them in half with a chainsaw gun in real life, but it's very easy to get a gun and shoot somebody on the street. I'm not saying that you're right to say Grand Theft Auto should be banned from children. I'm just saying that's why it's different.
Okay, that's I guess I can understand that.
It's also very easy to hit someone with your car. It's very easy.
Okay, fine.
It's harder to find a prostitute if you live in the wrong area, but you can still definitely find a prostitute, kill her, and take her money.
Which no one even does. At least I never bothered. Like,
to kill a prostitute?
I did it, like, one time, and I was like, and then, like, cops were chasing after me, and it was
like, man,
this sucks.
It's not like, okay, it's just because you can do it. You can also go golfing in Grand Theft Auto V, but nobody talks about that. They talk about how you can kill prostitutes and take their money.
Yeah.
And golf sucks. Killing prostitutes is way more fun than golf is, allegedly. I can't confirm or deny either way.
I will stand by my belief that Grand Theft Auto V has too many minigames. There are way too many, like, tiny little bullshit things you can do, and none of them are good.
Well, but you don't have to do them, do you?
I know, but what if I don't have to do them, why do they even exist? Like, I don't want to do any of it. Like, fun, I don't care.
Then don't. Then there's no downside. Just don't. Who cares?
I resent the fact that the option even exists because the option is dumb. If I wanted to play a golf game,
Hang on. I'm going to have to roll back on that one. I don't understand that at all. So it's in the game, doesn't affect your experience, and is optional in every way, but it bothers you that it's there.
So you know this about me, Steve. I'm a completionist, right? When I buy a game, I want to, like, absorb every part of it. But if I were to do that in Grand Theft Auto V, I have to play through a bunch of bullshit minigames that I don't give a rat's ass about, and I resent that they exist because I feel an obligation to play it purely because it exists in the
game.
Got
it. That's just because you're a fucking sicko. Got it. Okay. That has nothing to do with the game. It's just because you're diseased. All right. Well, that's not Grand Theft Auto's fault. They're just trying to give you a fun break from the wanton violence, but you have to take it as a personal challenge to beat the high score at tennis.
Pretty much, yeah, and that's why I get so annoyed with it.
God, it must be a nightmare inside your head.
You know, it's hard, Steve. It's really hard.
You just gotta learn to let things roll off you, Adam. Don't be bothered by all those mini games that don't matter. God, I bet when
I'll
you
work
were a kid,
on it.
God, there was a game in fucking Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Budokai, or Budokai Tenkaichi, whatever one it was. Where you had to wiggle the joystick really hard to make the Cybermen appear during loading screens.
I remember that.
I bet you were the kid that fucking hammered on that joystick to make those Cybermen show up.
Oh, you are so right. I would have my brothers help me out. Like, we'd be sitting there trying to spin that motherfucker.
God.
100%, yeah.
God damn it. Okay. You can't even win at that. It's a loading screen.
I know, but I wanted to get as many as I could. I think one time I got 12, and I was like, oh my god, it was awesome.
I also believed as a child that there was some reward for doing that, but there's not, Adam. There's no benefit. You could just put the controller down and wait. It's a loading screen. There's also one where Vegeta does push-ups. That's in a different game, but it's the same principle where you gotta, like, fucking wail on that joystick like you're playing, Mario Party or something.
I don't know what to tell you, Steve. When you present me with something in a video game, I just want to go. It's like, all right, let's go do it. And I get angry if I like can't do it the right way.
Is that
way.
In every aspect of your life right or just way. Games?
No, that's in every aspect of my life. It's hard. It makes life really difficult.
Wow. Man, I've never been happy enough to be me before.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I was actually real life, like, not a joke. I was talking about this with my therapist this morning.
Need to complete things?
About how I always, like, want to do things the quote-unquote right way, and I don't know why.
I don't know where that came from. Conditioning and nature.
I blame my parents, but, you know,
I
feel like anybody can blame any problem they have on their parents, so.
No, my parents are great. I'm just a wreck.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That's not their fault.
Anyway, so we're going to move on, because who gives a shit about Skyward Sword, because we haven't
talked about that for five minutes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ride or Die was pretty cool, too, because it had, like, lots of violence in it, and turns out that... That game sucks dick, but when it's all you have to play instead of Grand Theft Auto, you make do, and I got really good at it. And there's, like, the guy will talk to you and give you instructions in, like, never mind. I don't understand the guy when he talks, and I still don't. I never understood what my objective was, and I would just randomly lose, and I didn't understand why. That game sucks. Anyway, Skyward Sword.
That's how
who cares?
I felt. Okay. Sorry, I'm just gonna keep going on this on these asides that we're going on. I was playing oh crap, what's that game called? What's the game with Sweet Tooth?
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal. I was playing Twisted Metal so much of the time. Like, you start the game and, like, you don't even know what the objective is. It sucks. Like, I was eventually able to kind of figure it out, and it's like, okay, so this one wants me to survive, this one wants me to, you know, kill 50 guys or whatever. But, like, that game does not explain itself very well at all, and it's super annoying. I miss the days, or no, I don't miss the days. You know how people talk about how they miss the days when games would not hold your hand.
Right.
Yeah, I don't miss those days because now I'm so used to games holding my hand that if I play a game that doesn't, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Modern gaming has broken me as a human being. So that's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, there's some level of conveying instructions to a player in between, like, you know, a tutorial and just dropping them and letting them go, you know? Like, the first thing I do in every game is just smash every button and see what happens. But, like, you know, I wouldn't mind it telling me what things do in a natural way.
Yeah. It's tricky, because I hate tutorials just, like, always. Like, I almost never want a tutorial, but oftentimes I'm like, oh, no, I need a tutorial because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's a tricky dynamic.
It's simultaneously, I don't need the help, and also I need the help.
Yes. Yes, it's like, I want a game that has a tutorial that's fun, but that doesn't take super long, but also explains itself well enough to let me, like, actually...
How do you feel about pop-up tutorial messages in situations where a skill is required you might have forgotten how to do?
I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that?
Normally, I don't mind, because I like them when I put the game down and come back to it way later, and it's like, how do I do that thing again?
Yeah.
Because games won't let you, you know... replay tutorials when you're in the middle, so it's like, how the fuck do I wall run again, or, you know, whatever you need to do at the time. I'm sure there's some good examples of games where it like requires really weird things of you and doesn't tell you how to do them, and it's like, oh gosh, I hope you were playing this in one sitting.
I'm gonna talk more about this later for my humble opinion, but I recently started playing through Horizon Zero Dawn again, and it was a little annoying because I had to start the whole thing over because I couldn't remember how to play the game. I had no idea how to play the game. And so I was like, okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and start this guy over. And I am now past the point that I was at the first time I played it. But that's not saying a whole lot because I didn't get very far the first time. But man, that... I don't really like games that give you too many options to take on, like, you know, different challenges or whatever, because I feel overwhelmed, and it's like, I don't know. And I feel that a little bit with Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, it's like, okay, do I want to set up a trap? Do I want to just run and kill it?
No, like, here's how you play Horizon Zero Dawn, Adam. Give me a monster, I'll tell you how to kill it.
A Strider.
Just tell me which one that is. I don't know.
I don't know. The cow one?
Is it stealth killable?
Yes.
You stealth kill it.
Okay, that's literally how I've been playing the game, so I'm
glad
to
know that's how you play the game.
That's the best way, so good.
Is it not stealth killable? You shoot it with whatever gun does the most damage.
But I don't have any guns. All I have is freaking a bow and arrow. And
right,
like,
okay, well then you shoot it with the arrow type that does the most damage, or you throw a bunch of trip mine things directly in its charging path, and then it just runs through them and explodes.
Okay, I could probably handle that. That seems doable.
Yeah, you're overthinking, Adam. When a game gives you a million options, just pick whatever one works, and then never look back. You don't have to use them all. Just pick the one that does
like
the
I'm
thing
waste,
efficiently.
I feel like I'm not playing the game I feel like I'm not playing the game the right way if I'm not using all of the options available to me.
Adam, that's insanity.
It is a little.
When you
bit
were playing
insane,
The Last
of
Us,
that.
Did you throw fucking smoke bombs at things?
Yes.
Oh my god! Ew.
Yes,
Jesus Christ. That. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I tried to use every like weapon type in.
Adam, I had the same three smoke bombs I had at the beginning of the game at the end of the game.
Oh my god, you never even tried it?
I probably threw one once. What is the point of them doing anything? They're stupid. All the important things that you're afraid of can't see you anyway.
That's true.
What's the point of a smoke bomb?
Yeah, I mostly just use the smoke bombs against the humans or whatever.
Yes, the only time I used the smoke bombs was when I was playing non-detection mode and I needed to throw literally anything so people wouldn't see me. Oh, when I ran out of bricks, I threw smoke bombs. That was it.
Fair enough.
That's the only thing they're for is a second rock to throw. If I didn't have to pull the pin, I wouldn't have. I would have just thrown the whole thing as a rock.
some guy walks over, like, there's just this bomb here. It's just, yeah, like...
that's fine. If they all want to go investigate that free smoke bomb, more power to them. I'll waste all the supplies in the universe to make a smoke bomb that they go and investigate. If it just made bird calls, that'd be better.
Okay. Okay.
But whatever. Respect. Anyway, I'm just saying you don't need to use everything that they give you. You can just play... Guy, what would... If you played, like, Bayonetta... You ever play the Bayonetta or, like, Devil May Cry?
I
or one of those things? One of those things that's, like, really combo-oriented?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. Did you try to use every combo? Or did you just smash that attack button?
Nope. I tried to use different combos in Bayonetta. Which is one of the reasons I stopped playing Bayonetta.
That's fair enough. How about, like, Street Fighter? You ever played, like Street Fighter?
I tried playing
Mortal
Street
Kombat
Fighter.
Or something?
I'm fucking terrible
at Street
Fighter.
Do you gotta do, like, all the zigzag combos and stuff, or...
That's another thing. I fucking hated Street Fighter because it was like, you know, quarter turn, fucking square X triangle jump, the letter Q, and it was just like, man, I don't want to do this shit.
Well,
and
you
so,
can just play as Ryu and just quarter circle punch.
Hadouken.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's easy. Don't play as fucking Zangief where it's like make three Z's and then file your taxes before you hit punch and then you can do an attack.
Yes, I did play a little bit of Street Fighter, and I didn't like it purely because I didn't know how to do any of the moves and stuff.
Okay, I was just wondering if you, like, had to compulsively master them, or you were just okay with doing that. Just trying to find the line, that's all. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So is that why you don't finish so many games, is because you can't finish them?
Partially, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Often.
All right, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that, like, sounds like a nightmare, Adam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm aware of it, so, you know, I'm working on it. I'm doing the best I can. Fucking Assassin's Creed? Like, oh my god, I'm trying to... I think I told you I'm trying to play through Assassin's Creed 3. The fucking optional objectives in some of the main missions are so fucking hard. Like, why is the game trying to make me hate the game? Like, why won't you just let me play and kill things the way I want to kill things instead of making me do it the way you want me to do it? I don't want to. It's boring. And it's, like, tedious as hell. I did this one mission where I have to chase this guy, like, 80 goddamn times before I finally was able to do it the right way. Because I had to, like, stay within 40 feet of him and then also air assassinate him. Like, fuck you. Like, I don't care.
Can't you just, like, shoot him with a gun?
No, I tried. I actually did give that a shot, but it didn't
work.
What's
the difference? Like, why do they care?
He was too far away.
Why does it matter? What? Why does it matter how you kill him?
It was an optional objective, and as soon as you give me an
objective,
I gotta do it.
This wasn't like you failed the mission. This was like hey, you're not really doing it right if you don't do it this way.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It sucked, and I hated it. And I was angry at
Sorry.
Them. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, then. If you replay a game and it's got, like, collectibles, do you have to collect them all a second time?
Not always, but
okay.
Usually I prefer to. It depends on, like, if there are, like, unlockable,
Well, I'm not even talking about, like things that have tangible uses. I'm talking, like...
Okay.
If
it's just cosmetics,
No. Like, for example, you're playing through your Resident Evil, and you've played this game before, and you go into a dead-end room at the end of a hallway past three other rooms, and you know the only thing in that room is 5 pistol ammo. Are you going to go get that pistol ammo?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Why the hell wouldn't I get the pistol ammo? I want all the ammo.
Okay, but, like, if you know how to play the game, you know that you can get through the game without that, and you probably never need it. So assuming you didn't need it, would you go and get it?
I'd rather have it and not need it
right.
than need it and not have it.
That's interesting, because I've played through Resident Evil, like, 3 here, the remake, like, 6 times, and I've started skipping whole guns.
That is crazy to me. Like, I don't think I would do that.
I'm doing it for the time challenge, and I can't afford to waste the time to go get them, so
Steve, I've got a question for you. When you played Jak and Daxter 3,
yes.
did you use every gun that was available to you? Or did you only use, like, the shotgun and the blaster?
I used the blaster the most, and if I ran out of blaster ammo, I switched to the blue one. And if there was more than one guy, I guess I used the shotgun, but almost never. Only when I had to.
Okay. Because you know how there's, like, what? It's, like... So there's four weapon types, and there's three per... What's three? 12. Okay.
Yeah.
My brain is, like, shorting out.
Well, there's, so like... There's technically 12, but there's really, like, six.
Yeah. I used all 12.
Okay. Well, that's just not even efficient.
No, it's not. The worst one is the one that just shoots people into the air.
Because the gravity thing?
Yeah, the gravity one sucks. Like, there's no reason to ever use that, but you bet your ass.
Follow it up by punching them.
Yeah, and that's what I did. But it was just like, I'd rather just shoot them in the face with my blaster.
No, Adam, you're not doing it right. You gotta get infinite light jack and then role play as an unkillable god with Akira powers, and you can just make them float with your mind.
Oh.
There you go. See? Because you can still use guns when you're in light jack mode. Just like you can use the lightning gun when you're still in lightjack mode, so you can role plays using forced lightning.
Oh, shit. That sounds fucking awesome.
See, there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. Fucking Jak and Daxter. Maybe I should play that again. Of course, I did that not that long ago. We were talking about Jak and Daxter. I started playing Jak and Daxter again, and that shit wasn't nearly as fun as I remembered it being. So maybe I should just let that stay in my memory where it belongs.
I mean, I actually didn't think it was bad. It just wasn't as hard as I remember. But I was an idiot kid, so, you know.
See, I found it boring when I was playing it. Like, yeah. I was just bored. Like, most
it's fine.
Time. Like, I was like, eh. It doesn't help that I know the story, like, almost practically by heart. Like, I could say most of the voice lines, so I was just like,
right.
I knew exactly what was going to happen, so it was like,
I mean, when you beat the first boss, or the last boss in your first try with taking, like, one hit, you're like, yeah, maybe this wasn't hard.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's like, I'm too good at this, I'm too familiar with it.
Well, it's like when you play, like, fucking Sly Cooper 4 or whatever, and you're like, man, it's been, like, what, 10 years since Sly Cooper 3? This is going to be awesome. You play it and it's like, wow, this is easy.
Yeah, dude, Sly Cooper is so
it's almost like
easy.
This is a kid's game.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Okay, I really like Sly Cooper 4, though.
I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's clearly not made for me, which is weird because it should have been made for me because I was the people that played the third one, which was, you know, the last time Sly Cooper was relevant at anything. Unless you count, like, PlayStation All-Stars, I guess.
No, we don't count that. We don't talk about PlayStation All-Stars. Actually, straight up, I love PlayStation All-Stars.
Why didn't they just do Smash Bros? Why didn't they just copy Smash Bros. Wholesale?
I don't know the answer to that.
It could have been a perfectly satisfactory fighting game if they had done that.
I still wish that PlayStation All-Stars had gotten, like, a sequel. Like, I want more. I want more Smash Bros.
Yes, they could have, like, Spider-Man in there now.
Oh my god. How cool would that be? Like, think about that. They could have Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn. You could do Joel from The Last of Us. You could do Ellie if you wanted to. you could do Kratos, but this time he could be like the
old man
Kratos, bearded Kratos, which
bearded
would be
dad
even
Kratos.
Yeah, one of his ultimates could have been having his kid show up and, like, shoot somebody with an arrow. Like, that shit would be awesome. God damn, do I want another one of those. I love PlayStation All. My biggest complaint about PlayStation All-Stars is that I just wanted more. Like, I really fucking liked that.
Well, and some of their exclusive characters weren't even exclusive, and there was, like, some pretty shit ones in there, like the fucking Fat Princess or whatever. You know, that's not a character,
Fat
man.
Princess.
Come on. No, but they had, like,
dude,
there's some, you know, real all-stars in that team. You know, you got your God of War, you got your Ratchet and Clank, you got your Jak and Daxter, you got your Infamous. You know, they had some real heavy-hitting PlayStation names in there.
Cool.
And then they also got shit like fucking The Big Daddy, which is not even a PlayStation exclusive game.
I liked that, though. It doesn't have to be PlayStation exclusive.
It
was
available
on the PlayStation. That was good enough for me. Like, I don't even care about that shit.
Yeah. See, I'm just saying, you wouldn't see Nintendo going out there outsourcing their characters except for that one time that they did.
I love that that both Smash Brothers and PlayStation All-Stars both had characters from Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, not the same character, though, because they couldn't get Metal Gear Solid for their game, but they could get fucking Raiden.
Yeah. But Raiden was great. He was, like, one of the best characters
Raiden
in the
was a
game.
Metaphor for the entire PlayStation All-Stars game. The second best knockoff version that's not as good as the original that nobody liked as much as the original, but they tricked you into getting anyway.
That is true. That is so true. I don't even care. I love Smash Brothers so much that I thought PlayStation All-Stars was like a bunch of characters that I was more familiar with. Fuck, did I love
that game. Yeah, had that bitch from Golden Axe in there. Everybody likes Golden Axe. Or not Golden Axe. Golden Blade? Shitty God of War. Whatever it was called.
Oh.
Heavenly Blade. Heavenly Sword.
Heavenly Blade.
Heavenly Blade,
yeah. Girl.
Yeah, who can... God of War. Bad God of War.
I didn't play that one.
I did actually play that game. I have played that thing to its entirety, and I don't remember anything about it other than she had, like, evil sword that was bad, and there was a reason that it was bad, and she shouldn't have it, and we need to do something about that, and that's all I remember.
Okay.
Oh, and there was a little girl, like, with cat ears that said something about fireworks, I think, one time.
Okay. We have got to get back on track here.
Yeah, what the fuck are we talking about?
We were talking about Skyward Sword.
Oh,
that's what we were talking about.
That was like tangents upon tangents upon tangents ago.
Yeah, I was about to move on, and then you just launched into a tangent, and then I launched into a tangent, and then it just kept going from there.
Well, we got to fill out that one time somehow.
Talking about our next thing. So, Disney has announced that there will be a Lego Star Wars Holiday Special coming to Disney Plus this November, and I am so goddamn excited for that shit. Like, I straight up, like, I have got to actually sit down and watch the holiday special. I have never actually done it. I mean, watched videos about the holiday special, but never actually the whole thing.
It's probably findable these days easily with the power of the internet.
I should I could, like, find... I recently bought the despecialized editions of the original trilogy in, like, a Blu-ray.
The despecialized editions? Nice.
Yeah, have you ever heard of this? So it's, like, this fan thing. It's, like, fans were able to, like, it's the original version of the movie, except they borrowed elements from the special editions that were just, like, technical things. Like, the ships look better and some of the other stuff. You know, it's just special effects stuff. But they didn't change the story, like, at all. And I watched A New Hope yesterday, the day before, and it was fucking awesome. It was so much fun to go back and watch the original version of A New Hope instead of the special edition. And I wonder if I could get the holiday special on Blu-ray, too, because I would watch the shit out of that. I would watch it every year. Okay, no, that's probably not true. But I would watch it at least more than once. I would watch it more than once. Purely because, and I would, like, probably, like, get drunk or high and, like, just like, make fun of it the whole time. It'd be fun as hell. Like,
all right, fair enough.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I gotta look that shit up. Yeah.
Anyway. I wanna do that. Just write George Lucas a letter and be like, hey, George, let me get that Christmas special.
Dude, George has no control over it now anyway. I just got to write Kathleen Kennedy and just be like, hey, can you do me a favor and put the holiday special on Disney Plus? That would be so incredible.
George also wouldn't give it to you even if he could because he's on record as fucking hating that movie. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He fucking hates the holiday special, which makes it even better in my opinion. Not because I don't like George Lucas, but just because, like... I just think it's so funny that it's so terrible that even the creator of Star Wars is like, oh my god, it's so
and it's
terrible.
Got first appearance of that bitch Boba Fett.
Yeah, it does. It fucking, yeah. Truth
just
right
saying
there.
Just
oh
as many
god.
Things as he says in his other movies.
I think he says
down
more.
With Boba Fett. Down with
I think
Boba
he
Fett.
He has more lines in the holiday special than he has in the rest of the movies. Unless you count the Clone Wars, but I don't think...
I do not count really the Clone Wars as movies.
I don't count the Clone Wars.
Unless you mean the Clone War movie.
Well, yeah, but Boba Fett's not in that.
Exactly.
So it doesn't count anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so Lego Star Wars Holiday Special. I'm actually thinking about watching the oh, I just remembered a humble opinion I'm going to do. I'm sorry. I'll get back to that later.
All right.
But anyway, I'm going to do a I want to watch more of the Lego Star Wars stuff that's on Disney Plus, cuz I know there's a lot of that shit. Just because of this holiday special, I want to watch other stuff too. Like, that just sounds like fun.
Do you remember when the Legos couldn't talk?
I do. I kind of miss those days. I loved the original Lego Star Wars games and how, like, they're telling the story, but they're not able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to convey
existing movies with, like, gorilla grunts.
Yeah, I feel like it gave it this kind of childlike energy to them. It made them kind of fun, and it was like, and they had to get creative with how to tell the story. Like, they have like these little things that they're holding that like it's like has a little picture on it, and be like, "Have you seen this man?" But they can't say that, and it's the whole thing. I enjoyed the fucking hell out of the Lego Star Wars games. I can't wait for the new one. It's coming out, I think, next month, and I have it pre-ordered, and I'm getting a steelbook for it, and I am so excited. The steelbook is Han Solo in carbonite. That is the steelbook for the new Lego Star Wars game, and I am fucking ready! Alright, sorry.
Dope. No, I'm not.
What?
I said dope.
Dope. Ah, gotcha. But anyway, are you gonna watch the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, Steve?
Probably not.
Why not? It'll be fun. Apparently it's gonna involve time travel or some shit. I don't know, but I'm gonna watch it anyway. Doesn't that sound great? It's not canon, but that doesn't matter.
No.
I say as someone who's read all of the canon. Canon doesn't matter.
Alright.
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna watch your Star Wars Christmas Special Lego Edition. No.
Fine. You're lame.
Sorry.
Just so you know.
Okay, right. That's fair. I can live with this.
All right. So our next piece of news is that the original Avatar The Last Airbender creators, Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian Konietzko, and I hope I said that correctly. I think I did, but if I didn't, I'm sorry. I have officially left the live-action adaptation that's coming from Netflix of the show over creative differences. Which to me just means that we're going to get another shitty live-action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender. What? I wish I had one of those kazoos or like those things that spin, you know, like another shitty.
Oh,
adaptation.
Like the New Year like, thing. Yeah, the grinder exactly. Things. Got it. Avatar's great. Avatar fucking rules.
Avatar is great.
Yes. Live action Avatar movie sucks fat donkey dick. And
yes, it does.
I don't know for sure that live action Avatar show is going to suck, but I can tell you that even if it was just as good as the show, it's not just as good as the show. If that makes sense. You with me
yes,
on that?
No, it will never be as good as the show.
Right.
It won't.
You can't like, do the things you do in Avatar with real people. It just can't
no,
be done.
You cannot.
And for the record, real people are the cause of all the world's problems, and cartoons have never hurt anybody, so you should just do your show as a cartoon instead of a live-action show. That's just science.
I feel like maybe everything should just be a cartoon from now on.
Well, not everything.
There's no limitations to cartoons.
Yeah, not everything should be a cartoon, but you can definitely explore things with cartoons that you can't do with fucking real life people. Remember how many people took to throw one fucking rock in real life in the Last Airbender movie? Now, that was a bad choice. You know, I mean, there's no reason you have to have 16 guys doing a fucking hokey pokey before they can throw one rock, but it still looks more impressive when you do it with a cartoon than when you're doing it in real life, because it's just always going to look silly in real life. And I hate to tell you your show sucks before it starts, but your show probably sucks before it starts. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Stop doing it.
I fully believe that there's no way that this adaptation can be good. Like, I'm going to watch it. I will. Maybe it'll be as hilarious to watch as the Death Note live action adaptation.
Oh, man. We can only dream. We can only hope that's what it's like.
I sincerely hope that it is so bad it's good, But I don't think it will be. I think it'll just be bad. And I, like, am not excited for it, but I'm going to watch it anyway because it's Avatar and I have to.
How about so we just we take are. All the money that we took into making this show and just make book four?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, that would have been.
I love Legend of Korra. I think Legend of Korra is really, really good. But fuck, would I love to see Avatar book four? Like, I want to see Aang, like, and crew make the society that we see in Legend of Korra.
Yeah, I know there's like books that talk awesome. About that, but books are for nerds, so I've never read that, so I don't know what happens after
I've
the fact.
Yeah, I've thought about reading the books, but I have never gotten into them, so like. Part of me wants to, but the other part of me is like, I'm already like in so deep into Star Wars that I can barely see the light. So it's like, do I really want to?
Well,
like, you know,
the difference being that there's a finite number of Avatar books and there's an indefinite number or an infinite number of Star Wars things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've read every piece of the canon. Every piece. Most of that you don't, I would not recommend people read. Not most. About half, maybe a little less than half, I would say is skippable. None of it is outright terrible, but much of it is not necessary and borderline boring. A lot of it is just boring.
So a lot of it's the Naruto sucks. Makes Ramen episode?
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
And it's like, if you really like the characters, and you're really into this, into like the story and the world, like you can read it and you can find something to enjoy there, and that's fine. And I can share that with you because I also am a huge fan of the thing. But if you're a casual Star Wars fan, most of it you can skip. And if anybody has any interest in the expanded material of Star Wars, I would happily give you a reading list because I can just tell you what's worth reading and what's not. Because I fucking have read it all. Every single fucking piece of it. Anyway, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm okay.
We've all got our demons, Adam.
Oh, man. Yes, that is true. But anyway, Avatar The Last Airbender. I would really like to know what, I'm going to get their names right, Michael Dante DiMartino and Brian Konietzko. I would really like to know what the two of them like what the creative differences were. Like, what is it that they didn't agree with that Netflix wanted to do? Was it a casting thing? Was it like a special effects thing or a budget thing? I don't know, but I would like to know. But I doubt we're ever going to find out the real reason, unfortunately. Ugh. Why do stop making adaptations of things? If you want to be a like Avatar, I think that if you're going to do anything like live action or like whatever with it, you has to be a new original story set within the universe. Adaptations
or just don't.
Always
here's a
suck.
Great no. Here's a great rule of thumb. If you think you're going to make a thing that already exists in a live action remake, I want you to take a rubber band and snap it against your wrist. Every time you do that, you'll receive a small amount of pain that will remind you to be a human being and not do that. Or you could just go the Disney route where you make a live action remake of a thing that looks almost nothing like what it actually represents. For example, the trailers for Mulan, I don't know if you've seen them, look nothing like Mulan.
Yes. No, they don't look like Mulan. Well, cause
like at all.
No matter what you do, adaptations, like just by definition, are never going to be successful. If you do a perfect adaptation, if you get it all 100% right, and it's like, all right, you made a live-action adaptation, then it's going to be boring because this is a story I've already seen, and so I'm not interested. And if you change literally anything, there are going to be some people, many people, who hate you because they don't like anything new. So don't do it. Adaptations aren't worth it. There's nothing to gain here. Like, no matter what you do, someone's going to hate it.
Well, like, okay. No. You're not thinking broad spectrum enough, because even though people hate it, like 70% of those people will still go see it.
That's true.
Yeah. That's the real reason they do any of these things is for a sweet, delicious cash money. So there's nothing to be done about that. They're going to make the money no matter what. Mulan has no dragon and no cricket in it, but it's still going to make the money. It probably doesn't even have songs.
Yep. No, I don't think it does. I mean, you know,
and Lion Mulan's got King some of the best bangers in any early Disney movie. Come on.
I honestly, when it comes to Mulan, the only song I need is the Be a Man song. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. I don't really need any other song.
I mean, that is the best one in that movie.
That's the only song I remember, if I'm being honest. Like, I know that there are other songs, but I couldn't tell you what they're about if you paid me.
There's the Matchmaker song. There's the the Reflection song.
I remember the Reflection song.
You know where she, like, wipes her makeup off with one swipe perfectly?
Yeah, because that's how that works.
Oh, yeah. Well, she had a magic sleeve, which cuts things in perfect 90-degree angles and also doesn't leave any residue on the sleeve because it's a magic eraser.
Okay, fair enough.
Like the disappearing ink from fucking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I haven't seen that. I don't even remember the disappearing ink. It's been a long time since
that wasn't really a very important part of the movie, but, you know, I remember the weird shit.
Okay, well.
But you remember Jessica Rabbit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Jessica Rabbit. Anyway, so our next piece of news, our last piece of news, as a matter of fact, is that the Patrick Star Show has been announced. This is going to be a SpongeBob SquarePants spin-off series that will feature Patrick being the host of a late-night talk show in Bikini Bottom. So it's not like it's going to be real life or anything like that. It's like this fictional talk show. And this, in my opinion, I think that this could either be horrible or absolutely hilarious. I think those are the two options, because, like, I actually think that that format could work in the SpongeBob universe, maybe. But there's so many ways it could go wrong. What is your opinion, Steve?
Okay, first of all, I was under the impression we already had a SpongeBob spinoff show coming. It was like SpongeBob Goes to Camp or something.
Yeah, that's also a thing.
That's also a thing? Okay. That one I feel like is
Camp Coral, I think.
Yes, thank you. Called. Camp Coral.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do the Big Bang Theory thing where they make the Young Sheldon show in the last season and then keep the Young Sheldon show going long after the actual show ends so that they can keep getting that sweet, sweet Sheldon money. But I don't know that camper SpongeBob is going to have the same clout as regular SpongeBob, and I definitely don't think that Tonight Show Patrick is going to have the same clout as SpongeBob. Like, is it supposed... Do we know anything about it? Like, is it supposed to be, like, SpongeBob... or Patrick talks to real people? Is he going to, like, interview Larry the Lobster or something?
No, he's going to... No, he's not going to interview real people. It's going to be, like, you know, it's all fictional. You know, like, he's going to have, like, guest stars on the show that may...
Why does Patrick get a show? Characters. Why does Patrick get a show?
I don't know, Steve. I wish I knew the answer to that question, but
like,
I don't know.
I would much rather watch Elmo's Not Too Late show, and that actually sounds like that could be funny.
I mean, the thing about it, though, is, like, I've been watching SpongeBob recently, and Patrick's hilarious. Like, I love Patrick. But, like, I can't pretend that I'm not at least a little bit curious
about the show is going to be funny. Here's the problem. Patrick funny in small doses. He's the comic relief character. Where do you go when you need relief from the comic relief character? Like, yeah, it's funny when Goofy fucking hits the ceiling or whatever, but, like, if the entire movie was just 45 minutes of Goofy bouncing off of various surfaces, it wouldn't be funny anymore.
Hey, the Goofy movie is great, though.
But the Goofy movie's not just that. The Goofy movie has, like, plot and feelings in it. You should go watch the Goofy... watch the Goofy movie again. It's a lot deeper than you remember it is, but anyway.
No, I have seen the Goofy movie, like, recently. It's one of my wife's favorite movies. I watched it on Disney Plus, like, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's good shit.
It was great.
Anyway.
It's good shit.
Anyway, it's not the same.
Sorry, yeah.
Patrick can't have a fucking show. He's not important enough, and his character is not a character. Here I am trying to fucking apply logic to Patrick Star. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think it's going to do well.
That's fair.
I don't know why they would do that.
I don't think it's...
SpongeBob, the show, is basically unkillable. So you might as well just ride that out forever, because they're never going to cancel SpongeBob after, like, 27 seasons or whatever number we're at now. You might as well just stick with that and keep making money. Otherwise, you risk, like, losing, like, too much of your thing makes people not want to watch any of your thing. And I'm not saying that there's going to be too much SpongeBob for kids, but, like, you know, it's a possibility. And also, are they going to do a Cleveland Show thing where Patrick's no longer in SpongeBob and he's just in his own thing forever now? Or is his show going to be part of the continuity of SpongeBob? Like, is SpongeBob going to go to his rock and find Patrick wearing, like, a top half of a suit now all the time because he's always ready for work?
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? That doesn't matter at all. I'm just kind of curious.
There are crossover opportunities. Maybe they could do, like, this big, like, you know, Infinity War-style event. Like, you know, have...
Where there's a crossover between SpongeBob and Patrick's shows.
Sure, why the fuck not?
Sure. You know, I have to say...
oh, my God.
I feel like it's weird that SpongeBob is going to play second fiddle in anybody's show. You know, like, having him be on the Patrick show would be very strange because he would be, like... Not the main character, but SpongeBob's always the main character, you know?
I know.
Just odd is all. Weird. But, you know, yeah, depends on whether we care about the Patrick Star show, and I don't.
Like, I have to, like, I do think that's probably a bad idea, but I'm also curious. Like, I think I will give it a chance if I can find it on, like, a streaming service. Like, I'm not going to get TV just so I can watch the Patrick fucking Star show. Like, I don't care that much. But if I happen to see it on, like, Amazon Prime or something, I might give it a watch and see if it's worth my time. I'm mildly curious. But that's all I've got for it. I'm mildly curious. Like, all right, maybe. So... question mark? I don't know. We're gonna move on now to Magic Hour. So Steve,
yes.
Or wait, what happened last time? Let me see if I can remember.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Okay. It wasn't last time, but I remember the guy who was split into like seven different parts, and then he all joined.
Tessier, yes.
Tessier, that's it. I remember that. I remember there was like a bit, like they're in the middle of like some kind of snowstorm or not snowstorm, like an apocalyptic ice age.
Yes, the ice age.
Oh God, what was it? The last one? I can't remember. I can't. I'm sorry. I really am. I cannot remember what the last. I remember getting a question and wasting it on something. I remember that, but I can't remember
did.
What the hell it was.
You asked me if Felden was a good guy. Oh no, you asked me if Felden succeeded. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. I asked if Felden... Oh, yeah. He was trying to bring someone back from the dead. Mm-hmm. That was it. Some guy wanted to bring someone back from the dead, and he failed.
Yep.
Or was it... Yeah, he was trying to bring her back from the dead, right?
Correct.
Aha! Okay. I don't remember their names, but...
All right.
So go ahead.
This one does not have a specific year, because I don't know exactly when it happened, but it happened somewhere between... 73 and a 170. Somewhere in that time frame.
Okay.
Jarsil discovers a spell to open a gateway to Phyrexia. He disappears shortly after. That's it.
Jarsir? That's
Jarsil. Jarsil.
Jarsil. Jarsil discovers a spell that lets him get into Adrexia?
Phyrexia.
Phyrexia. I was close.
I've only said Phyrexia like 1,000 times.
I'm sorry, okay? I'm trying to learn. I'm giving it my all here. All right, so... and then he disappears.
Yep.
Okay. I gotta come up with a question for that. All right, fine. Who is Farseer?
Jarsir. Jarsil. Jarsil. I got me doing it now.
These names are really hard for me. I just want you to know that.
That's because they're goofy fantasy names. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to remember them. They just don't stick in my
head. He's not that important. The only thing that's relevant about him is that he was the great-great-grandfather of Joda, which you haven't even met yet.
Oh, all right. Well, fuck. All right. I got nothing more to say.
I guess his notes were used by other people for things, but he himself was not relevant.
Okay. All right. Got it. And that was Jarsir.
Sil.
Sil. Fucking hell. Jarsil. Jarsil. Jarsil going into Phyrexia.
Yeah. You don't have to commit him to memory. He's not important.
All right.
You're trying really hard to remember him, but you don't have to.
Okay, then I won't. Okay, so we're going to move on now to my humble opinion. I would like to go first.
All right.
So I know I told you I was going to do fucking Horizon Zero Dawn, but instead, because I've been watching this show on Disney Plus called Star Wars Resistance, and I want to take a moment to talk about Star Wars Resistance. So I'm watching the whole series from start to finish, which is only two seasons, which isn't that bad. I have not quite finished. I've seen the first season before, but I have not quite finished my rewatch of the first season. But I do have some new thoughts on the series, watching it through a second time. And that is that while the show is very childish and is not made for me, if you go into it as a Star Wars fan, and if you go into it with an open mind and accepting that it is for young kids and that there's a lot of goofy humor, if you can look past that, it is actually a pretty decent show with a lot of really, really awesome world building for the sequel trilogy of the Star Wars era, the sequel era of the Star Wars universe. The ship, like, battles and races and stuff are easily the best part of the show. And really the biggest complaint I have is that I don't like what the show is actually about. I feel like the show kind of missed an opportunity to be like a weird spin-off branching thing. So anyway, let me try to summarize this show in a nutshell. All right. So this guy named Kazuda Ziono is a New Republic pilot, and then he runs into Poe Dameron, who, this is before The Force Awakens, he runs into Poe Dameron, who is obviously a pilot for the Resistance, and he joins the Resistance, but instead of being a pilot, like what he wants, he is assigned to be a spy on this fueling station called the Colossus. And the Colossus is like in the way out in the Outer Rim. It's right on the edge of the universe, basically. And it is used by all kinds of different people whenever they're going to go venturing out into the unknown regions. And for whatever reason, the First Order seems interested in getting control of the station. And Kazuda is there as a spy to figure out what the hell the First Order wants. And also to just kind of protect the station in general from pirates and the like. Now, the issue I have with the show is that I kind of wish that Kazuda was not the main character. Oh. Not that I hate the character. I don't hate him, but he's kind of a doofus, and he's constantly getting himself into trouble and making things worse for himself, and he's a terrible spy. and so it's like, I understand that conceptually, like, the Resistance is a small group and they need, and it's all volunteers. So it's not like, you know, so it's like, they're just using what people, you know, what resources they have. The Resistance is not in a position of strength to be able to pick and choose who gets to join them. Right.
Right.
Except this guy is a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kaz. Like, I know he means well. He really means mm-hmm. well. His heart is in the right place. And I like that about him.
So we talking he like...
He's dumb as a...
Hang on. Are we talking like Top Gun sort of doofus? Are we talking like Of Mice and Men doofus, where he's like petting the bunny and breaks its neck?
No, like Top Gun.
Okay.
But arguably worse than Top Gun, because he's also a bit of a clown. Like, he has this, early on in the season, he wants to watch the races that are outside, and so he opens up the garage, and he's watching the races while he's working on his ship. Then his ship starts to slowly drift, towards the edge, and this is on, like, this water planet, so it's, uh-huh. like, there's just water everywhere. It's slowly drifting towards the edge, and he's just sitting there watching the race, and then the thing falls off the edge and he has to go and get it back. And then it happens again at the end of the episode. It falls over the edge again.
Ah, okay.
Like, he's just a dummy. Like, he's...
So this isn't like a Jar Jar Binks thing where he accidents into success all the time. He's just a moron.
That sometimes happens. He does sometimes accident into success. But more often than not, he just gets into stupid situations.
Right. He's just a boob.
Because he's clumsy. He's just a goof. He's a goofball.
Got it.
And he's like Jar Jar Binks if Jar Jar Binks...
wasn't an evil mastermind. Rich.
Yeah, it wasn't an evil mastermind and was rich and was really, really, really dedicated to taking down the First Order, which is also kind of weird because I don't really understand why he hates the First Order. Like, he just seems to...
Well, somebody had to, right?
I guess he just kind of hates them out of principle. Also, his dad is a New Republic senator, which is weird, but that's a whole other thing.
Nice.
But see, the problem is that the rest of the show, like, so there's, you know, there is this fueling station on the edge of the unknown region or near the unknown regions, and they have this awesome racing culture where, like, you know, all of the racers of this platform are also the, like, security of the platform. Like, they go on patrols and they fight off pirates and stuff, and yet they also do these big awesome races where they fight each other and win money for each other, which is so cool. I love the racers. The racers are awesome, and it drives me insane that the show isn't about them. Why the hell is Kazuna the main character? I don't care about Kazuna.
Well, it sounds like, or to me, you're describing pod racing, and that doesn't interest me as a plot.
It is similar to pod racing, except instead of being pods, they're like, you know, ships.
Right.
And the ship and all of the ships are brightly colored and they're all unique to their racer and they're super cool looking. One of the racers is a former Imperial pilot and his racer is a modified TIE, which is super awesome. I love that. Like, they're so the ships are so cool, Steve. Like, I almost want to buy Lego sets of all the ships from this just because of how awesome they look. I love them. Except Kazuda is over here. Like, he has this ship called the Fireball, which has this tendency to blow up in a fireball.
Mm. Fair enough.
And he spends most of the first season trying to fix it so that he can be a racer himself. And I just wish that the show could have had him be a racer, like, from the third or fourth episode. He doesn't, like, really start using the fireball. Like, he doesn't basically fix it until, like, the second, like, until, like, the last, like, quarter of the first season. And I haven't seen the second season yet, so I can't speak for that yet. But, like, it's like, why? Why is this show about what it's about? Like, I feel like the show had the potential to be really cool if they focused exclusively on the racers and the pilots and the fighting off the pirates, and that would have been so cool. But instead, it's about this guy who's a really shitty spy, who's a decent pilot and a terrible mechanic, and he's just getting into shenanigans. And, like, it's not bad. Like, I can't say that the show is bad.
I mean, it feels like the formula there could work.
Yeah, it's like it's almost good. Like, it's close to what I want it to be. And there are some episodes, like, there are, like, some individual episodes that are excellent. But most of them are just kind of dumb.
Well, it's like, I didn't want Ezra to be the main character of the fucking, of Rebels.
Yes.
But he was.
Yes. I mean, the thing about Ezra, at least in my opinion, is that Ezra, like, goes, like, changes a lot throughout the series.
Yeah.
Like season one Ezra is so different from season four Ezra.
True.
And I like that the series is about him maturing as a person. And they're trying to do that with Kazuda, except the problem I have is that, so, like, Ezra had a reason to be the way that he was. He was, like, what, 15 or he was 14 or 15 at the beginning of the series,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he was, like, a street rat, and, you know, he was learning how to be a Jedi, and he was maturing as a person, and, you know, like, I like Ezra's arc. Kazuda is, like, 19 or 20 at the beginning, and yet he's even more silly than Ezra ever was. And it just... like, I have to, like, I know that this series is not for me, it's for children. And I know that children like it when characters act silly. I get it. Like, that's, but at the same time, it's hard for me as an adult to watch this show and not be a little bit butthurt about what could have been. Like, it could have been much better than it is, and it's frustrating to me. And also, it sucks that the show only got 2 seasons, because I feel like there's a lot of potential for it to become really, really good.
Oh, is it just over?
Except it never... Yeah, there's only 2 seasons. Oh, okay. It's done okay. Already. The show's over. And it's like, I feel like that was a wasted... The whole thing feels like a wasted opportunity, and that sucks. But it's decent enough. I think it's worth watching if you like the sequels, and if you... like the ships of Star Wars. If you're really into the ships of Star Wars, you would probably enjoy Resistance. But if you don't really care about that, like, there's almost nothing to do with the Force at any point in the series. And if that's what you're into, which, if I'm being honest, is the main thing I like about Star Wars.
Yeah,
I
the love Star the Wars part, you like the Jedis?
Yeah, yeah. The space wizards?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that I'm into the show for. I like X-Wings. I like the ships. I think that they're neat and fun, and I often enjoy them, but that's not why I'm here.
Yeah, don't you know get me mean? Wrong. I love driving cars as much as the next guy, but I'm here for the space wizards.
Precisely. Precisely. And so the show feels like it's not made for me, like, in any way, but there is enjoyment to be had watching it if you are willing to accept that it's not perfect at all.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you should just watch the F-Zero anime and have a better time.
Maybe, but that wouldn't be Star Wars. So.
Well, this was barely Star Wars, it sounds like.
I mean, it is Star Wars.
It's got Star Wars coat of paint, maybe.
Another thing that I really like about it, I mentioned it briefly, but the world building, like, I really like, the First Order is, like, trying to manipulate the person who's in charge of the Colossus into, like, giving them more control. And I really like that aspect of it. It really does a good job fleshing out what the First Order was. It was like this military group that was on the fringes of the galaxy that was, like, inch by inch building up its power and, like, building up its influence so that when the time came, they not only could they completely obliterate the New Republic within seconds, but then they could swoop in with their, like, giant fleet of ships and take over the galaxy. And I like that. I like that that's the ultimate plan of the First Order makes sense. Like, as much as I have issues with Starkiller Base in The Force Awakens, it actually makes sense for them to have Starkiller Base. It's this ultimate super weapon that they built very quietly and in secret, and they were able to use it to, like, just, like, instantly, like, win the war. Like, the war's practically done by the time it even starts. I like that. I think that's a fun idea. This show does a good job, like, fleshing that out a little bit more, which I appreciate about it. If you're a Star Wars nerd, I think the show is worth watching. But you have to understand that there's going to be a lot of silly shenanigans going on, and you have to just kind of either be okay with that or just pretend it's not there, which is kind of what I'm doing.
I guess.
Anyway.
Just cover your eyes and say you can't see it.
Yeah, basically. So, Steve, what is your humble opinion? Do you have one? Or no,
I do not.
I don't think you do. You don't. I remember that now. It took me a second. All right. So, those were the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye.